UK.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Circle.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
I'm just wondering how you're getting on with your new Beamer.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
I saw your dashboard, darling. It's like, I thought you were going to take off from Heathrow.
It's scary. I can't work it out.
And you're techie.
I get in the car and I push the start button and it goes, don't touch that.
Uh-oh.
I drove out of my drive.
You've managed that, have you?
Yeah, no, but the car was delivered 5 months late, yeah. And my other car went back last October, so I've been driving a hire car. And I had a little orange Ford car, yeah, which was okay, but, you know, it was what it was. And I've been used to driving that. I drove the BMW out of the drive for the first time, and I put my foot down, and I was in Rolvenden 5 seconds later, and I don't know how I got there.
So pretty fast.
Yeah, vroom.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think with these new Beamers, you can just lounge in the back, can't you, drinking cocktails, and they drive themselves.
I don't think you're supposed to.
Oh, okay. I thought you could. Now, you know that my, AdBlue has come on yet again.
Oh, blimey, yeah.
We had a Honda CR-V and it's done...
You know what AdBlue is, don't you?
It's wee.
It's wee and water is
it's
what
ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah. Well, we've got Seriously. A bottle. We've got a bottle of AdBlue that new husband bought, of course, because it keeps coming on. But you have to take it into the garage, of course, to get it all on your whatever-y, you know, on your Jiffy whatever.
On your Jiffy.
On your Jiffy, what have you, elements of the Merc.
A Jiffy, what have you.
Yeah.
Just take it in the garage for that. My Jiffy, what have you, is playing up.
Just put it on the Jiffy.
Can you brush the magic dust up my Jiffy?
On the what have you. On the whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
So it says, AdBlue, go to the workshop. So new husband could just pour it in, but you
Yeah.
And I love my car. I love my Merc. But honestly, the CR-V, the Honda CR-V, we've only ever spent, I don't know, probably just the average MOT, never needs much done. It's done 230,000 miles, right?
It's clapped out, that's the problem.
No, it's not clapped out, it still goes, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's the dog car, right? Merc is...
The dog can drive it okay.
Yeah, she does. And the Merc is very swanky and lovely and speedy. But honestly, every time I take it to the garage, it's £700, £800, whatever. So... The roof, I had to get the roof done and all that malarkey. So I said to the new husband, I'm happy to sell it and I don't need to be swanky anymore. I can just get something normal. I might get another Honda.
But my new car.
Your car's ridiculous.
No, hold on. I've had it 4 days, okay?
And you still can't drive it.
No, it came up with a message. Your service is due.
Oh, no.
In 19,001. I'm thinking, how often are you going to tell me this for the next 2 years?
Are you sure they're not talking about you personally?
Oh, I need a service all the time.
Do you know, my new husband was called in for a men's health check. He's 13 years younger
by anybody in particular.
I don't know, some mechanic. I think the Honda garage. But he's 13 years younger, and I've never been asked for a health check. Nobody's ever brought me in for a health check. But our surgery,
they wouldn't dare. They've heard you on the radio. They go, we're not calling her in.
We'd
be here for a week while she goes through her medicine cabinet.
I was saying to the new husband, all of us have always been all right until we clash with the NHS, until we go to see the NHS and then we get in trouble.
Yeah.
We've been well till then. Mm. Anyhow, long story short, we won't mention AstraZeneca. So he got a well man check, and all they were going on to him about, he's the fitted, he windsurfs, he sails, he's like Superman. He's skinny as a rake. He's very healthy, doesn't smoke. He does drink, but not much. So long story short, they said, oh, your cholesterol, your statins. This is their buzzword at the moment. Everybody has to get on statins. So I said to him, this is rubbish. They said, they reckon I've got the heart of a 90-year-old man and all this. He's 51 and he was really downcast. So they've done all these blood tests, nothing. Haven't got back to him. So I said, they're obviously just mad and it's nothing. And long story short, I said, did they ask you anything about cancer in your family? Because he's got a huge lot of cancer in his family. His mother died from esophagus. Did they check your prostate? All these things. No, nothing. All it was statins and cholesterol, which is obviously their buzzword. So poor little husband was very scared by this nurse, but he's fine.
Well, the trouble is, you can't rely on anything anymore. I said, you see that report last week that said if you eat more than two eggs a week, it improves your chances of getting prostate cancer by 40%.
Oh, does that happen for women? Because I've got my boiled egg in the car.
I don't think you'll have a prostate problem, actually, no.
I'm doing a pelvic floor as we speak. Well, that's ridiculous because I, as you know, I've always got my little boiled egg in my jam jar.
I know, that's why I'm telling you.
Yeah, I've got it today with a couple of tomatoes.
Have you?
But yesterday, I've got to tell you about Hythe. I was down...
So you went... I saw your
Sankt
tweets.
Ports.
I saw...
Sankt Ports.
Thank you. I saw your tweets about the shops in Hythe.
I didn't see any of your answers.
Well, I didn't say anything. I just retweeted them.
Well, you should chat to me.
Well, I don't want to. It's bad enough here.
Yeah. What was it we chatted about the other day when I said, "Are you a robin?" That was quite funny.
No, you were asking me the colour of my breast or something.
No, that wasn't. You said that you liked eating seeds or something. It was about maggots and seeds.
No. Oh, she's useless. Yeah. Julie, she's useless. She really is.
Julie's in the studio, by
the way. Yeah. She said to me the other day on Twitter about eating bugs. Yeah.
Insects.
Yeah. There's this big story going around that the EU have allowed certain bugs to be used in flour to make bread.
So now your biscuits, your cakes will have insects in them.
Pay attention. Yeah. Don't go off a tangent.
Well, I'm a Gemini.
She's two-faced.
Yeah. He's Pyrex.
I made myself laughing.
He's Pyrex, his
yeah,
first sign.
Yeah, test tube baby me. Yeah. Basically, she was going, we ate bugs once, which we did, yeah? And I just said, yes, the roasted crickets I quite like because they taste like peanuts. The scorpion I didn't like because it was crunchy and tasteless.
Had a bit of a
and
sting.
I really, really didn't like the mealyworms.
No.
So you then posted a picture of a robin and went, are you a robin?
I thought it was quite funny at the time.
And I said, no, but my breast is a bit red.
Yeah. And then you said you'd show me today on air.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I think you did.
No, I think you said that you wanted me to show you, but I'm not showing you my breast.
I can't wait. Well, wait till the 2 p.m. news, and then, you know, we can have a quick dash out and have a look and see if your red breast really is.
You don't really want to see it.
Which brings me on to, if we've got any ornithologists in the studio.
Only what?
Ornithologists in listening. Because we do have that.
There's
lovely...
none in the studio. I can see everyone in the studio, and none of them look
you like... You don't know. She might have binoculars in her handbag.
She might have.
She definitely not.
Nora might have binoculars in her handbag. Anyway, we do have that gardening man, the pondy man, on the show sometimes with his son. Remind me.
Simon?
What's his Twitter handle?
I don't remember.
Well, offhand.
Simon Pollard is who you're talking about. Yeah.
We'll have to remember his Pollard handle in a minute. But it's quite a good name for a gardening person, Pollard. Isn't that one of those like things they put up for, you know, to make wine and things? Don't they put up pollards?
Yeah.
I don't know. Pollen, pollard, something. But anyway, I have no birds in my garden anymore. Now, I know you're rural.
What do you mean you've got no birds in
your
garden?
I've got no birds. I have always fed the birds. I put out fat balls on the 17th of December.
Have you got a cat or something?
No, I've got a greyhound. You know that. I don't have a cat. We've always had birds. We've been there 30 years.
Where have they gone then?
You
must have seagulls.
Oh, we got I don't class them as birds. They're vermin, aren't they? They're like vultures. And we've got pigeons, of course. Hundreds, endless pigeons.
So you have got birds, not the ones you want.
My dicky birds have gone.
Yeah,
my dicky birds. So I put out my fat balls, as I was saying, on the 17th of December. And seeds. And then we have them in the back garden, the front garden for the dicky birds. And we've always had a robin. We've had a few tits and things like that.
Yeah.
And... nothing. They are still there. And I used to replenish it like every other day, every day sometimes.
My Mexican squirrels are in a standoff.
What's happening with them? Well, you've been giving them mealybugs.
No. Dan absolutely slathered my bird table in grease and they can't get up it now.
It's a great musical, that.
Yeah. What, slathered?
Grease. By the way, Dan, if he's listening,
he's hurt himself.
Oh, but he can still answer the phone.
Possibly.
Because I phoned him. I had a gig for him, an end of tenancy in Greenwich.
Right.
My son's moving out and buying something.
Yeah, he's in hospital.
Is he?
Yeah, his eye.
What's he done? What, with your squirrels?
No. It wasn't at my place.
It wasn't a squirrel bite.
I don't know where he was. No, he was skimming a ceiling. And the next thing I know, he's got a patch over his eye and he's all feeling sorry for himself.
Flakes.
Yeah, so get well soon, Dan.
Oh, that's why I will let him off. But I had a really nice end of term. I was going to call Michael Parks as well. End of term tenancy clean, and that's got to be really well done, hasn't it? A tenancy clean.
Yeah.
How is the Twitter looking? Shall I read something?
Yeah. Well, while you're looking it up, I'll read a couple.
Oh, I just remember what I was going to say to you before we went off on a tangent.
You
went off on a tangent. So yesterday I went to Hythe. Now, does Sank FM radio, Sank Ports FM radio, is that what it's called, our new listeners?
Yeah.
Sank FM radio?
No, Sank Ports Radio, yeah.
FM.
It's called Sank Ports Radio.
FM.
No, it's not.
But it's going to be heard on FM.
All local stations can be heard on FM. Yeah. The name of the station is Sank Ports
Radio. Okay. Because when I used to work for CTFM in Canterbury, it was always CTFM. We always had to say the FM. Yeah, it's very important.
People have different names. Training. I know this is amazing, which is why you're called Jules and I'm called Paul. And
are you?
Yeah.
Oh, God. He comes in every week. I didn't know his name. Anyway, so I went to Hythe yesterday.
Have you ever been to Hythe?
I went to Hythe yesterday, Paul Andrews, and it's really, really lovely. And I found some lovely people who I'm going to see if they'll come on the show. So I found the Long Dog Shop.
The
Long Dog Shop.
The Long Dog Shop. They only sell long dogs.
She saw my greyhound, of course.
Hold on, so it's a Long Dog Shop, okay.
It's
right,
called
okay.
It's 3 W's
that's a bit niche, isn't it? I mean.
3 W's dot thelongdogshop.com. She had about 4 greyhounds, and I had my Darcy greyhound, of course.
Oh, but what do they sell?
Long dog coats for long dogs.
Is that it?
Yeah, and collars and things.
For long dogs.
Yeah, so I met her. She's on Facebook and Instagram. Not on Twitter, I'll have to persuade her. It's very naughty.
Have they got a neighbour that does short dogs?
Probably. I don't know, short cake, short dogs. And then I also went to this beautiful shop, which I go to quite a lot, called Elysian Treasures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at 105A High Street, Hythe, Kent. And the sat-nav is Charlie Tango 215JH. And the website is Elysian, that's with a Y. So Elysian treasures.com. Again, they're on Facebook and Instagram. Haven't bothered with Twitter, which is very naughty of them. And they have beautiful stuff. So I'll just show the ladies in the studio. They have, I bought some little coupe champagne glasses because, you know, I'm a fan of a coupe. I do like a coupe glass.
All right.
And I bought some beautiful trays, designer trays, lovely, lovely tray. I do love a tray in my house because my cleaner doesn't move anything. If she's listening, sorry about that. She doesn't move anything. So I said to her, I've put these things on trays so you can just move it to dust underneath.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Yeah,
She still doesn't.
The tray covers dust, doesn't it? Eh?
Well, yeah, but then I say to her, can you take things off
the
tray?
Can take things off the tray and clean the tray?
Yeah, okay, yeah. It gets on. Yeah. Thing is, as my new husband says, you have to be there every time asking her what to do, which is sort of defeating the point. Anyway, they were great businesses. And there's also an amazing butcher who I'm going to try and get on the Scoff and Quaff show. Scoff and Quaff is a superior show. It's a food and drink show. And I'm going to try and get them. They're award-winning, and they're in Hythe High Street.
Yeah.
So, Julie, your dad lives in Hythe.
He does,
let's say hello to him.
Hi, Daddy.
What's his name? I'm not going to call him Daddy.
Bernard.
Bernard. Yeah. I'd only call him Daddy if I was sitting on his lap with a glass of champagne. So, hello, that. Bernard, if you're listening. But I do, Bernard, I do love your High Street. Hythe High Street.
It's lovely. Full of,
no chains. Well, it's the boots, you know, but it's just really lovely and beautiful. That little flower shop there on the left next to Elysian Treasures.
Oh, okay. I'll have to have a look at
Go
that.
Go to the flower shop. I bought some little hyacinths. But it's arty. The flower shop is really trendy, modern stuff. It's not your old lady, you know.
I haven't been to Hythe since Bird moved out.
Well, you must go back.
Sarah Ann Lucas used to co-host the show. She moved to Rwanda.
Yeah.
Would you believe? Yeah.
So we should go and see her in Rwanda, shouldn't we, really?
We should, really. But when she was doing the show, she was living in Hythe, so we used to meet up quite often. There's a coffee shop called The Cabin.
Yeah, I saw that. And we got a Scotch pie from award-winning butchers. And we had a pint of Timmy Taylor's.
Was it in a kilt?
No, it wasn't in a kilt. But we were wondering if that was the problem with all the transgender going on in Scotland, all these kilts. You see, this is, you know, where men wore kilts. This is where it's all coming from, isn't it? This Nicola Sturgeon business. Just saying.
Was it?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Do you ever wonder that?
No.
Shall I read one?
If you're going to read a tweet, which you set off to do 10 minutes ago.
Well, you know. Folkestone and Hythe District Council has introduced a green business grant scheme, and we do love a grant on the Business Bunker, to help smaller businesses become more energy efficient. Grants of up to £10,000 may be available for your business, and up to £25,000 in exceptional circumstances. The scheme will currently run until the 31st of March of 2024, so you've got a little bit of a year. And to find out more, please go to folkestone.works/green-business/grant-scheme. Three W's, folkestone.works/green-business-grant-scheme. And all details will be on Kent Business Radio as well.
They will. I've had a tweet from I Trust the Shore, the whistleblowing app, and they say, can we have a shout out on the Business Bunker, please? Well, of course you can. So that's a big shout out to Nick and the team at I Trust the Shore. Do check it out. It's a fantastic app. It really is. Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, sounds like it's going to be a brilliant show. I'll probably catch up on the replay. Thank you.
Well, she's
Tracy.
Listening to
she
last
listened to last
week's
week's this morning. Yeah.
Well, I did tell you that I missed Tracy last week. Do you remember I forgot a word?
Yeah.
It was the shortage of logs, and I said they are, and what I meant was they're I've forgotten the word again, but they were stopping us. We couldn't get logs from December until January. There's a shortage. So they were rationing them. That was the word. And you didn't help me, and none of the guests helped me. But Tazy, I'm sure, would have done. Tazy64, give her a follow. But she's listening to last Tuesdays. No doubt she'll catch up.
She listens to last Tuesdays this morning. She's going to listen to this Tuesday tomorrow morning.
She must be cool.
Sarah Marsh Collins has tweeted. Nice lineup with potential guests. Fantastic to have live guests in the studio. Singles events should be a blast. So thank you, Sarah. What else have we got? Chips and Dinks, have a great show. We will have to listen on the catch up to this one as we're busy this afternoon, but it's something to look forward to. So that's Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks.
I don't have any chips or dinks needing doing at the moment. They've done such a lovely job on my alloys.
Jason from Jade Cleaning will be window cleaning. We'll be tuning into the Business Bunker radio show. Loves to hear the chat and opinions, and there's always a few fascinating factoids.
There's been a campaign to encourage more firms to use the county to host corporate away days.
Oh, yeah.
Spearheaded by the tourism agency Visit Kent, it's hoped by getting firms both in the county and London to book venues, experiences and attractions, it will boost visitor numbers during off-peak periods. Running for 6 weeks, the Meet in Kent campaign, which includes a dedicated website and a social media push, will look to rebuild the business event sector, which was hard hit, obviously, during the pandemic. So well done, guys. That's great. Well, Hythe was busy. The pub that we ate our little Scotch eggs, Scotch pies outside, we couldn't get a meal there because it was fully booked for lunch on a Monday.
Which pub was it?
I can't remember. It's a little green one. It's a green one.
Green
on
one.
The Globe, potentially?
Probably. The Globe. It's got a little fence, and we sat outside in the garden. Mm. And it's opposite my flower shop and my shop and the butcher's. Is that the Globe?
It's sort of. I'm sure there's a Globe.
Oldie, worldy green.
At the end of the high street.
I know, middle, maybe.
Oh, okay. If it's the
near the butcher's.
Potentially the White Hart. That's quite a popular one.
Maybe. I should know where I was. I did have two pints of Timmy Taylor's in my...
A few too many and forgot the name.
Possibly. And then we walked on the beach and the sun came out. It was with the Greyhound. And Monday's my day off, you see. It's the day I have off. It's really nice. And the sun came out and people were fishing on the beach and cafes were
You're better off fishing in the sea. You're likely to catch more. We did social media every Wednesday, 9:30. They have a online Zoom mini training session for LinkedIn. So do check that out. We do social media. Sevenoaks Chamber, join us on the 1st of February for our first Wednesday networking meeting, sponsored by and hosted at Sevenoaks School. Head teacher Jesse Elzinger will give an update and you'll get a chance to see the amazing sports facilities available to the public. We'll be raising money for Sevenoaks Larder, which is a food bank, with our business card draw. The school have kindly donated two tickets to a Royal Opera House performance at The Space. The Space is a theatre at Sevenoaks School. It's absolutely stunning. Back in 2015-16, I chaired a Brexit debate for TV there. Brilliant, brilliant space. Anyway, you can find out about the Seven Oaks Chamber event at Seven Oaks School by going to kempersisradio.co.uk/calendar.
And a big hello to Jade Window Clean on the Twitter, that you can find them at Jade Window Clean. They've got 30 plus years of experience and they offer efficient, reliable service at a competitive price, England. So I guess they travel everywhere.
They do. They won an award as the best window cleaning service, commercial window cleaning service, in the southeast of England a year or so ago.
I do keep mentioning my windows to my cleaner.
I really think you need a new cleaner.
I do. But you try. See, Whitstable's full of Airbnbs. Cleaners, good cleaners are like gold dust.
Right. We're going to have some cheesy tunage.
Oh, what are we having?
Well, you're going to get
Hotel California.
Yeah, see, I didn't even need to play the phone in the bars, did I?
You can check out, but you can never leave, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just like this studio.
But it's very similar to the studio. I actually saw the Eagles live at the Hop Farm.
Did you?
A couple of years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. We must have been there at the same time.
Why did I miss that? Yeah. Why did I miss that? Mm.
I don't know. Why did you miss
it? I don't know.
It's very good.
I just get my drum kit out. In a minute.
It was good. In a minute. Yeah. It's a long track, which is why I'm talking over the intro. So,
but how come the Eagles were at the Hop Farm in Kent? That's amazing.
Yeah, well, they had a big lineup, didn't they? It was a festival. 10cc, Brendan Flowers. I'm trying to think.
I can only really remember the Eagles.
Well, I'm not surprised. No, then after that, you had cider.
It was a massive lineup.
Just get my drum kit out now.
Yeah.
Hotel California, the Eagles there. In honour of our next guest, I caught up with Sandra Mabry. Sandra is a marketing consultant, and the hotel reference will become obvious when you hear Sandra's interview. So let's hear what Sandra has to say. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show this Tuesday afternoon, Sandra Mabry of Mabry Marketing. Sandra, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's a real pleasure. It's a pleasure to meet you. I want to start off, if I may, Sandra, by finding out a little bit about you. Tell us about Sandra. Tell us about your backstory.
Oh, okay. So I've been self-employed for nearly 18 years now at this stage. Right. I am the owner and founder of Mabry Marketing. So on top of that, I'm a wife, a mother of three strong-willed daughters. So life is busy. There's a lot of juggling going on.
Right.
My backstory, oh my God, how long do you have? As I mentioned, 18 years in business. So there's, you know, there's a bit of telling in that story. But look, my background is hospitality. You could say I've been in hospitality all my life because I grew up in a hotel.
Right.
My parents actually bought a hotel when I was 4 weeks old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, and you know, there's entrepreneurs in the family. So it was, I suppose, destined that I would become self-employed probably. So, but my, I was working with a hotel group for 7 years after college. And this, believe it or not, this is when online bookings were just emerging in Ireland. So right. Booking.com and Expedia, we were only just starting to hear about that. You know, it's hard to imagine it now because it's however, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But back then it was a travel agent and direct through the telephone. So I was meeting with hotels. My job was to go around and train the staff on how they could get more business through online marketing. And I started to meet independent hoteliers and realized, hang on a sec now, there's opportunity here. Like, this is so new in Ireland and people, you know, need help with this. And there's opportunities for them to grow their business. So that was when I set up my business, June 2005. And my business was called NetAssist.
Okay.
So that's the way back. But, you know, fast forward to now, an awful lot has changed. An awful lot has changed in the last 18 years in my business. So, you know, even for your listeners, we can't just stand still and maybe do what we thought we were going to do all the time. Things have to change and you have to change with the circumstances that arise.
Absolutely. You couldn't be more right. And of course, the pace of change is really, really rapid these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. Sometimes I would say difficult to keep up, you know, for everyone, even for me, I find it's difficult to keep up with all the trends that are changing. So, yes, my customer has changed an awful lot over the years, you know, pre-COVID. In actual fact, if I was to say anything about my business and what I've done, I think what I'm most proud of is that I steered my business independently through a recession.
Right.
And through a global pandemic, and I'm still trading today. So I think that's kind of something I'm most proud of. But if I was to look at my customers now, you know, an awful lot of change over the years. Pre the pandemic, I started to work with, you know, it was, I suppose, step outside of hospitality and start to work with business owners in other sectors.
Right. So before that, you were fairly much concentrated on the hospitality sector?
Yeah,
which obviously makes sense, except during a lockdown.
Yeah, but you know, even before that, I was finding there was business owners coming to me and saying, you know, we need a bit of help. Can you help us with our marketing, our online marketing? So, you know, I was already starting to see a shift. Then came COVID, which, you know, anyway, we don't want to get too bogged down with that. But basically, it changed my business because hospitality took an awful hit, which had a direct impact on my business.
Mm.
And I was lucky I had started those contacts beforehand and that grew. And, you know, there was businesses that were thriving during the pandemic that needed help. You know, they needed to move their business online or they, you know, they just in general were so busy, they needed help. So, so my customer looks very different now to when I started out first.
Okay. And in that diversification, what do we call it these days? The pivot. When we pivot our business into a slightly different market space, have you focused on, again, on one market space, or is it fairly general?
You know what? It is fairly general. And I'll tell you why, Paul, because the foundations of marketing are the same for everyone. Yeah. If you are a hairdresser, if you are selling shoes, if you are selling bedrooms, you know, understanding who your customer is, what are their needs? What do they want? Can you deliver?
Yeah.
What's your message? What do you want your customer to know about you and your business?
Yeah.
You know, all that applies to every business, regardless of even what size they are, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's explore a little bit about some of the things you actually do now. Give us an overview of the kind of things you help a client with and the kind of things you do for them.
Super. Okay, if I'm really honest, Paul, the majority of my inquiries start with a telephone call that says, hi, I need help with Facebook. And I've nearly gone to the stage now I start rolling my eyes when somebody says that to me, because as much as it's hugely important in business, Facebook and every other social, you know, other social media platforms, it is a piece of a puzzle. That's what it is. It's there's so many other steps they need to get right first.
Yeah.
Before they ever say, okay, well, what am I going to put on Facebook? Like, I see it over and over how businesses are sending the wrong message to the wrong audience.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you'd say, what do I do? I work with business owners and managers on preparing marketing plans, strategies. But it's really, for me, it is so about the basics. Again, your customer, who are they? What do they need? What can I give them? Your message. How do I deliver that message? That's when you say, okay, well, you know, it's a digital marketing. And, you know, and I'm a big believer, and let's not forget about the traditional marketing. Let's not forget about, you know, the signage on a van, or, you know, there's so many elements to marketing as well as digital marketing, and so many elements that can be supported by and can support digital marketing, is what I would say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And I see this here with predominantly small businesses who dive into doing something without really thinking about, you know, the basic strategy. And I don't know if you come across this, Sandra, but, you know, you say to people, well, who's your target market? And they'll go, anyone. Really? Anyone?
I have a lovely example. I don't know. Of, you know, the difference between your typical customer and your ideal customer. Okay. Right. I'll try and do a short version of it. But basically, I do a lot of mentoring with business owners. And I was mentoring a lady who runs a restaurant. And in general, her message on social, okay, first of all, I said, who's your audience, like, who's your ideal, your customer? I didn't say your ideal customer. Who's your customer? And she said, well, she said they're kind of 20 somethings, and they come in and they have like maybe a main course and a craft beer, and they, you know, that's it. Their spend is X amount. And I said, okay. I said, who's your ideal customer? And she'd never done this exercise before, and her face lit up. She started explaining in minute detail who her ideal customer was, what age they were, where they lived. You know, I'll know them by first name. They're actually quite familiar with the property. They'll ask me for a recommendation. They like to have something like maybe the steak or the rack of lamb or something like that. So the interesting thing was all of their social media posts were targeting this typical customer, but they weren't talking to their ideal customer at all. They weren't like promoting the stuff that their ideal customer would be interested in. So how would their ideal customer know what they even offer? Because they weren't telling them, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And the funny thing is, it's not really rocket science, is it? It's fairly much common sense. But people, I think people get scared with small business owners. They tend to be in business doing whatever it is they do. And all the other things around that, all the other strategic things you have to do to run a business, they find a bit scary. And therefore, they either attack them piecemeal or don't do them at all.
I think they get overwhelmed. I think, to be fair.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, small business owners are everything in their business. They're the finance manager. They're the marketing manager, sales manager, you know, plus they're making or doing whatever they do, you know.
Yeah. Can I ask your opinion on any kind of, there's a huge drive still to networking. Yeah, be it physical networking or online networking, although most of it's going back to physical face-to-face now. What's your views on networking as a marketing tool?
I think networking is so important. I genuinely wouldn't be where I am today without networking. And right. You know, if I'm really honest, right, again, when I thought about networking first,
right,
and people say, oh, your pitch and your elevator pitch, okay, so I'd go to an event and I was shockingly bad at networking. I would normally find the one person I knew in the room, I'd make a beeline for that person, yeah, I would cling to them for the whole entire night and make no effort whatsoever to talk to anyone else or network, okay?
Yeah.
But and the reason was, you know, what do you do? And I thought, oh God, what do I do? Oh, my elevator pitch. I used to find that very difficult. But when I started to relax into it and started to meet people and, you know, faces became familiar, and I started to realize, you know what? Networking is just being yourself. You know, I'm Sandra Mabry. I run a marketing company. You know, I help small business owners. When I kind of separated that from this elevator pitch and, you know, how do you pitch yourself? I got a lot more relaxed with it. And I've made some fantastic contacts.
Right, okay.
You know, and I think it can be, it's twofold. It's either to grow your business, like grow customers, but also the support in it. You know, I would be involved in different networking groups for maybe women in business and that. And I just think that there's support there that, you know, if you're have a query, you always learn something. You go to events and you always learn something. I just think that I love the support of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my pet foibles with people that do network is how some of them won't kind of move away from their area, their physical geographical area. You know, I saw someone establishing a new networking group 30 miles away from an old one, and everybody was going, oh, I'm not going 30 miles. And you go, yeah, but surely the whole point is to make new customers. And if you stay where you are, you're not really going to make new customers because you're not going to see them. What are your views on traveling around and being involved in different groups?
Yeah, I would agree. Absolutely. You know, it's always about, I suppose, thinking bigger and thinking outside the box, isn't it? And you know, you go to these things, you'll always meet someone and you think, oh my God, that's great, we could work together, or that's great, we could, you know, talk about whatever. Yeah. There's, yeah, I would definitely be traveling further afield. I often go to events, so I'm based in Cork in Ireland, but I'll go to events all over Ireland, and again, I'll always get something out of it. You always make new contacts. And I mean, the likes of the LinkedIn and the Twitter and all of that, I mean, that's what, they're all networking tools as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really important.
Okay, changing the subject slightly, I do hear you've got a book to talk about.
Yes, I do. Okay, so in 2022, I became an author.
Wow. Right?
I mentioned earlier how my parents bought a hotel when I was 4 weeks old.
Right.
So I wrote a book about them, okay? You know, around Christmas time last year, you know, my parents were always telling stories. Oh, this happened when we had the hotel and that happened when we had the hotel.
Yeah.
And it was like a light bulb went off in my head and I thought, oh my God, I should be writing this down. I should write this down because these stories are going to get forgotten. They're going to get lost through the generations.
Right.
So I said, look, I'm going to write a book about you, whatever. You know, and now to be fair, their first reaction was, who's going to read that? But it has done very well. There's been a great interest in it. But it became a book about their story. It was supposed to be their stories, things that had happened, but it became about their story. And I discovered so much about them and so much about the area. And like, they've been in business for long before I was born.
Right.
They would, you know, like, I'm not going to go to all the details, but they would have had dance halls in the 60s. So the first people in West Cork to have a chip family. They had a family of five and the youngest of five. So you just kind of, if you visualize the scene, there's a 16-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 4-week-old baby. Wow. And they buy a hotel, you know? So, yes, the book is called Spins and is the life and times of my parents, which is Sonny and Mary Mabry.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I'm really just, we don't want to spoil it for anybody that buys a book, but what's your favorite story in their book?
Oh, wow. Okay. Actually, I think it was when my father told my mother, I think we should buy a hotel. Again, picture the scene, the five children, they were running other businesses. They had a shop, they had these dance halls that they were running. And, you know, this, the hotel in the town had come up for sale. And, you know, my father said to my mother, I think we should buy the Bostonian. That's what it was called, the Bostonian. Mm. And she said, are you mad? You know, we've enough going on. But the auction, it was by auction, was on the 25th of May, which is my father's birthday. And he went to the auction and he bought the hotel.
Wow.
Let's get out. Right, we have a hotel. They paid £37,100 at the time. It was in 1976.
Wow. give us a view of the site. How many rooms?
How many which?
How many rooms in a hotel?
Worms.
No, rooms. Sorry.
Oh, rooms. So, typical small West Cork hotel probably had maybe, I would say, 10 rooms or whatever.
Right, okay.
But they put so much investment. They built on a function room.
Right, okay.
A hall. A ballroom, really, is what you would call it. And they extended that over the years. And they've had artists play there from all over the world. I don't know, you know, Bernie Flint would have been on Opportunity Knox. So he was literally playing in West Cork the following week after winning Opportunity Knox, this kind right. of thing. And look, so many entertainers over the years. And that hotel is still in the family. My brother Martin and his wife Sheila are running it now. So it's really a lovely story.
Fantastic. So the title of the book again is Spins?
Spins, yeah.
Spins by Sandra Mabry. Buy it. That's an order. Go and buy it and read it, everyone. Sandra, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. If people want to find out more about Mabry Marketing, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you get me across most of the social media platforms, but my website is mabrymarketing.ie. You'll find me on Twitter under Mabry Market I1. And then LinkedIn under Sandra Mabry.
Fabulous. Sandra, thank you so much for that. Pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday and we'll see you again soon.
Super. Thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk. to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
That was Sandra Mabry there of Mabry Marketing.
I just love her Irish accent.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, fascinating interview, and do read her book. I've ordered a copy of it, so I'll let you know.
And Tracy Ferguson, listening in to her second stint of the Business Bunker, and she says, don't you pollard trees, Paul Andrews?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And she said, great start to the show. Just love the way me, Jules, flits from topic to topic. Fab opening conversation. I can't even remember our opening conversation now. I have to listen back.
I wouldn't.
New husband listens when he's having dinner of a Tuesday night.
Does he choke?
No, he often guffaws. And says, you're quite funny, you and Paul Andrews.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got tonight pork chop from said butcher in High Street, and it was off the bone. He literally cut it in front of our eyes off the bone.
Sorry. How did we get from it was funny to pork chops in one movement?
That's what I've got for dinner tonight. And I've got Kentish apples, so I may be making a little bit of apple sauce.
You're going to have apple sauce with them?
Yeah, from Paul Ward, Farmer Paul Ward's farm.
Right, okay.
Kentish farm.
All right, okay.
Yeah. But he was literally cutting them off the bone, the chop, as you
know.
What,
the apples?
No, the pork chop.
All right.
Keep up, Paul Andrews.
Okay.
Who else is on the Twitter? We've had Samantha Kelly. Did you read that?
I haven't yet, but you can read it in a minute. I'm going to read Martin Reeves first.
And the Vendellas?
No, not Martha Reeves. Martin Reeves of Buddy Collectors.
Yeah.
And Martin says, what interesting guest you have on today. I'm listening to the Business Bunker show.
Well, hello, Martin. Mm. I expect he's counting his Lego and finding all his... I must get my Yogi Bear out to show him. So Samantha Kelly...
Is that some kind of euphemism?
No, it's the real Yogi Bear I've got. So Samantha Kelly, listening.
Does it make you go boo-boo?
Boo-boo. Mm-hmm. What else did he say? He said other things, didn't he? Mars smarter than the average bear.
That's him.
That was him.
Yeah.
Smarter than the average bear. Samantha Kelly is listening in. I think she's in Ireland, isn't she?
She's in Dublin, yeah.
Is she? Mm-hmm. And she says, please say hi to Sunshine HR Coach on the Twitter. That's Sunshine with a Y. Very clever there. SunshyneHR Coach. And we are listening in the background while we work on a project. So hello to Sunshine HR Coach. There's a lovely picture of them all grinning. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, poor old Sarah Marsh Collins has got a tax. Well, she should have listened last year week when we had Telford.
She's been what?
She's got a taxing. There's a big
threat. Oh, a tax. I thought you said she'd been attacked.
Calm down, Mr. Andrews. Huh. So she says, me too. This is a thread, I think. So after all that, I got distracted going around in circles with the HMRC website. And she's, you know, hashtag be bunker. So we've got to keep on top of this, Paul Andrews.
Yes.
We can't just keep chatting.
Yeah, we need to know. There's hundreds of them, and you keep deflecting me by talking about pork chops and
now you're hungry.
And shops in Hythe High Street and pubs whose name you can't remember.
That's for our listeners on Cinque Port Radio.
Is it?
FM. Sarah Marsh Collins on her next tweet says, ish, full stop. So this is obviously a thread. And then she says, HMRC and my accountant seem to have differing opinions on what I owe. Given the mess HMRC seems to be in, I'm inclined to side with my accountant. You need to listen back to last week when we had Telford accountants on there.
Thing. Yeah. Or become Chancellor of the Exchequer and then you don't have to pay tax bills.
Well, yeah. Yes. And now the Wayne Cunnington, who's listening on WhatsApp because he's been banished from Twitter for talking about his AstraZeneca damage, he says, is there such a thing? He's going back to Hythe High Street again.
Sure.
You've got to stay with me, Paul Andrews. Is there such a thing as a tiny dog shop or a mahoosive dog shop?
I did make the same comment, Wayne, to be honest. I don't know why you just have a long dog shop.
Well, I suppose
that's a very restrictive niche, isn't it?
She makes coats for greyhounds, which are long dogs.
She makes them, does she?
Yeah, she actually hand-makes
them. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, and I guess a sausage dog would also, although it's not tall, it's long, isn't it?
It didn't say tall dogs.
That's the only long dog that I thought of what? Is a sausage dog, a dachshund.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you need to meet my Darcy Greyhound. She's a very long dog.
Are they considered long dogs? They're just normal, average-sized dogs.
They're quite
tall. I know they're tall. But it's not the tall dog shop, is it?
No. Well, it depends if they're walking on their hind legs, I suppose. Yeah, walking about. I have a cartoon brain, you see, so I see everything like a cartoon. Yeah, you thought of a sausage dog. Yeah, see, they were greyhounds, but they've got long backs. Mm. Got quite long backs. They've got longer back than a Labrador. My Darcy has got a play date tomorrow with a Labrador called Baloo. We're swapping dogs because our dog can't be left. So we're spending a fortune on dog care. It's ridiculous. £20 a day. So we're doing dog swaps now. So we have their dog for a day and then they have our dog.
Is that a thing?
Dog swaps, yeah. It's a bit like a dating agency, really.
I was
really.
Just going to say.
And in fact, we're having them round on Valentine's night. I'm going to cook them some...
And they can have a little romantic dinner.
Yeah.
Little tin of chum each.
Yeah, exactly.
Swap your dog.
And Wayne also says he's very excited that we've got some lovely in-studio guests. He's a big fan of an in-studio guest.
Yeah, aren't we all, Wayne? You're quite right.
Trying to get them into Ashford is the thing.
Yeah, sadly, it all depends what your point of view is. We have guests from much further afield now and they can't always get down to the studio here, so we have to record them.
Some of them live up north, like Wayne.
Some of them don't even live in the country,
like Wayne.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, we have some Americans, quite a few Americans.
And I think you'll find that Dublin isn't in England either.
It's quite a long hike, isn't it?
Right. I've had a tweet from What's On in Kent.
What are they saying?
They say, can we have Business Bunker shout out, please? We have our newsletter coming out this morning. Have a great show, everybody, on the Business Bunker. That's What's On in Kent, which is the free downloadable event app for the county. Do check it out. Get your newsletter as well. Download the app and get your newsletter.
And
why have you sent me a gif of an elephant, a baby elephant, waving its trunk?
Because somebody was saying that you've got a great anecdotal memory.
Right.
And I said, as I've always said over the past 115 years I've worked with you, that you have a memory like an elephant.
Right, okay.
And then I put a nice gif, as I call it, of Elefanti.
A gif?
Yeah. We've got a new listener. We've got Dr. Anthony Hinton, who's a lovely cardiologist that I follow. Mm. He's very clever. And he says to Sarah Marsh Collins, I've had this problem 1 year in two for 30 years plus with HMRC.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they're always wrong. Mm. And the accountant is always correct in my experience.
Yep.
And Dr. Anthony Hinton is a consultant surgeon, 30 years experience, retired from the NHS. Mm. And a lovely, lovely man.
Kim Stevens, Karen Kent, has tweeted. She says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show, please, Paul. Do you know someone who loves helping others, has a passion for the welfare of others, and would make a great carer? Maybe caring is their calling. If you'd like to work in caring, you can look out on their new website. They've got a new website, caringkent.co.uk, or you can actually email them at info@caringkent.co.uk, or you can call them on Ashford 01233 619 530. Ashford 01233 619 530.
And communities across Kent are sent to benefit from a share of more than 122 million in taxpayers' cash. So it was taxpayers' cash. That's trouble, isn't it?
Well, it said government cash, and I crossed it out and put taxpayers. The government doesn't have any money. They get it all from us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've given it all away. They're giving it
away.
And
they're giving it all
back.
Sweet, this furlough made
my eyes water.
See, people fall for this all the time. They go, oh, we need a government handout. So the government go, right, all of you give us more money, and then we'll give you a little bit of it back. Mm-hmm. There you go. And people go, aren't we lucky?
I know. We are. Mm. So where was I? Yeah, so communities across Kent are set to benefit from a share of more than 122 million in our money after successful bids for levelling up funding were announced last night. £45 million will be spent on improvements at the Port of Dover to keep the border flowing, and £18.1 million will fund the Dover Beacon regeneration of the area around Bench Street. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to sit on a bench now, Paul Andrews.
You are. You've got funds to do it now.
Exactly.
As well.
Mm. And the Isle of Sheppey, mm-hmm. Where John Nurden, one of our avid listeners...
So where my new business is.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell me about that.
No, you finish reading that first.
Oh, well, you know me. I like to flip from subject to subject. The Isle of Sheppey will receive £20 million to help transform Sheerness Town by providing improvements such as an expanded further education college, leisure facilities and space for small businesses. A project to reopen the castle in Canterbury will receive £19.9 million.
Blimey.
Goodness me. Mm. Whilst in Folkestone, who was it lived in Folkestone?
Me.
Julie, it's you, gets £19.7 million, Julie, will be put towards the redevelopment of the Bouverie Square.
Oh, that is music to my ears.
What is Bouverie Square? Please tell me.
It's one of the main, on our high street shopping area. But yeah. The shops there do need to.
Is that where you go in? Because I know folks in a little bit. So you've got a little banner saying Creative Quarter. Is that your high street?
No, that's the old high street down the bottom.
Oh, that's the bit I like best. Sorry.
No, the old high street's lovely.
Okay.
It's beautiful. Lots of pop-up stores.
Great Italian restaurant there that allows dogs.
Yes.
And my Darcy, who's a very long dog.
See what Not a tall there. Dog,
what
a long
do they serve?
Dog.
She was served meatballs, but she wasn't supposed to have the meatballs. They were for me and the new husband.
Did you have to pay for that?
Well, she snaffled them off, because she's a long dog, you see, she's a tall dog. So she just snaffled them off the table, and the waitress put them down, serving lady.
She used to be a pop star. Yeah. Long dog Baldry.
Do you know, they're far too young to know about that.
They are, yeah. As I said it, I thought, I'm wasting my time here. These ladies are far too young for this.
It's a very good joke for anybody over 50.
The trouble is I listen to Boomer Radio now, and that's the kind of stuff we get on there.
Have you noticed Ken Bruce now on Radio 2? He's elated now.
Yeah.
He is over the moon that he's going to Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
So anyway, very exciting. So Bouverie Square, the relocation of the bus station and other town centre improvements. So where do you think they're going to move the bus station to, Julie?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. Where do you move a bus station?
Exactly. How do you move a bus station?
I don't know.
Well, you just put it somewhere else, don't you?
Yeah, but you've got a road into it. It's a thing, isn't it? So let's meet up in Folkestone and I'll bring my little roving mic.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
We could you could take me round, because I don't really know Bouverie.
Gosh, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. But isn't it awful that I like old High Street and not new High Street.
I think most people like old High Street. Yeah. Folkestone.
It's very clever, isn't it? What they make something a creative quarter and then people will come.
But actually, it's a thing, and Folkestone is great for this as well, because as well as the creative quarter and the High Street and the harbour, you've also got the Lees and all of that.
So Folkestone's lovely.
So there's lots of different areas. I mean, and why wouldn't you have different areas? You don't go to somewhere just for one place, do you?
No.
You go somewhere because it's interesting and there's different things to see and do.
And by the old railway thing, they've got the Sunday market, which is amazing. That Sunday market.
Talking of markets, I've had a tweet from Morling Farmers Market.
Farmers Market.
They go, "Hello, could you give us a quick shout out for all the amazing farmers, market managers who work so hard to support the stallholders and help keep the farmers markets open for everyone to visit?" Well, of course I can. There you go. I've just mentioned it. Give them a follow. Their Twitter handle is M Farmers Market.
Yeah, they're great. And we do love a farmers market. And I was trying to get them on Scoff and Quoth for the Christmas show, but they were so flat out, you can imagine. And if you do have a farmers market by you, do make an effort to go, because they really, really do need, especially January, February, it's quite tough for them.
Mm.
And that's the other thing about independent shops. In Hythe, you know, we haven't got a lot of money at the moment. We're all being careful because the bills have gone up with energy and stuff. But I made sure I went into the little florist there and bought three hyacinths for my windowsill. And just, you know, if you go into a little shop and just buy a couple of cards or something. I bought a bobble hat from this shop I just mentioned where it was. I put it away for my sister-in-law. Her birthday's in April. And it was handmade with a lining and it's very glam. So just buy one thing and keep the shops going. Next meeting of Marsh Network, which is in East Sussex and Kent. It's at Pet Village Hall, PETT, at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday the 7th of February. Is that next Tuesday?
Yeah.
And you can book by going to www.marshnetwork.co.uk. It's now co-sponsored by the FSB, the Federation of Small Businesses, of which I'm a member. First timers can go for free. If you have customers, suppliers or contacts who'd like to attend for free, you can email Terry at botfield.net.
Or you can tweet him at TDBotty.
You can indeed.
Mm. Sam Kelly has tweeted. She said, "Please can you say hi to Sunshine HR coach and I? We are listening in the background while we're supposed to be working on a project." So hello to you two.
I expect coffee and biscuits are flowing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a KO digital review. It's on the 16th of February at Canterbury Christchurch Uni. FSB members, KO Digital are publishing their review. I've got the dog's teeth in today. Into the digital strategies of the fastest growing.
Are they long dog teeth?
Yeah, must be. Canines. Growing companies of the southeast. I'm using a really nice toothpaste at the moment. It's got bee pollen in it. Talking of gardens.
Does it sting?
No.
You've got 30 seconds before we join the newsroom.
The event is aimed at business owners and marketeers to learn how to grow a business online. And it's a seminar which will cover three key areas. You can book your tickets by going to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a little / calendar.
Fantastic. Jay Window Cleaners say, "Thanks for the great shout out on the Business Bunker show. Enjoyed Hotel California. What a great tune." Absolutely.
And Jade, I've got my window cleaner coming tomorrow.
Have you?
Yeah, Mark, and no doubt it will rain.
Okey-doke.
It always does when it comes. Or if I put my washing out.
We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to these two
gorgeous
ladies that we've got in the studio.
They wafted in with all their perfume.
They wafted.
Gorgeous they are.
They wafted in, did Noreen and Julie, and we're going to waft over there and talk to them.
I'm going to ask what they were wearing.
After the news, clothes, I think.
Was it a little bit of Chanel?
Here we go, anyway.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.
Rail passengers are being warned to expect disruption for the next month as a fresh wave of strikes get underway. A